Welcome to Warrior Wisdom and week 6 of our study of 1st and 2nd Timothy. Today we're going to be in 1st Timothy 5, but as we get started, last week we looked at Paul's advice to Timothy about practicing, right? Right doctrine, following our calling require hard work. They require practice. They require commitment. They require accountability. They require grit. And in chapter 5, Paul turns his attention to some very specific instructions related to some particular circumstances in the church at Ephesus. Instructions on how to treat older men, instructions on how to treat widows, how to treat elders or pastors, bond servants and masters, right? It's advice we can read through as church members. It's advice we can read through as family members to help guide us in similar situations. But with our particular focus on calling and identity this year, we're going to draw out ideas related to being faithful to our calling. We're going to look at ideas of how do we respond to those people who are faithfully serving in their calling, right? And so we see that, and in 1 Timothy 5:3, right, it tells us to honor widows who are truly widows, right? To honor those widows who are actually doing, who are fulfilling the calling. It defines that later in the passage. In verse 17, it just tells us, let the elders who rule well, let those who are doing their job well, be considered worthy of double honor, right? And then in chapter 6, verse 2, it gets into this bondservant and master's part, but it says those who have believing masters, right? Those who have masters who are setting the example, right? They must serve all the better, right? And so we're seeing this, that we are told to honor those, right? To serve those, we'll get to that at the end, who are faithful in their calling, right? Who are faithfully living out, faithfully executing, faithfully following, who are truly doing it, who are doing it well, right? Who are leading out through an example, right? The specific callings of widows, elders, pastors, bondservants, masters, whatever one of those, that's not going to be our main point. It is simply going to be that faithfulness in our calling is worthy of honor. And I want us to look at just 4 ways this passage shows us that we can honor those who are faithfully fulfilling their calling. And it starts in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, right? It talks about don't rebuke older men, right? Treat older men like this, younger men like this, older women like this, younger sisters like this. But it just says, encourage them. We all need encouragement. We all need an attaboy. We all need a go girl, right? Whatever it may be. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build one another up. Just because we might be faithfully walking in our calling, just because we might be doing it, doesn't mean it's easy. We talked last week, it can be hard work. It can include difficult seasons. It can bring pain. It can bring heartache. It can bring loss. It requires sacrifice, right? Matthew 7:14 says, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those that find it are few. Following after our calling, it is rewarding, but it's also taxing. It can give life and at the same time take all our energy. So we encourage one another. We build one another up. We take our courage. We take our strength. We take those things that God has given to us and is using through us, and we give it to someone else. Hebrews 10:24 says it this way, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Encouraging is stirring each other up, right? Encouraging others lets them know we see them and that they matter to us. Encouraging others lets them know we see their task. We see what they have to do. We see what's in front of them, and we believe they can succeed. Encouraging others lets them know that we see their fruit and that they are making a difference. Encourage those around you who are faithfully fulfilling their calling. And the challenge in whatever day you're listening to this, and go encourage someone. Encourage someone specifically today. I'm recording this on Friday morning, right? Friday, our boys play sports. I love it. I love to watch them play sports. I'm getting the opportunity to coach them play sports. But one of my favorite things is on game days, these Fridays, sending them just little notes, little words of encouragement. They look, they're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old boys. Do they pay attention to it? Do they think, hey, it's awesome? I don't know, right? But one day, I hope they look back and go, you know what? My dad was in my corner. And it's just these simple words of encouragement, whether it's a video or a sentence or a paragraph, just to say, I believe in you. So I challenge you, whenever you listen to this, stop and encourage someone. And the truth is, we can be reinvigorated in our own work. We can be reinvigorated to follow our own calling by the sight of work well done, by paying attention to those who are faithfully doing their calling and offering encouragement. It may well change the whole experience for both of us. So first, encourage them. The second thing we get is, we see, to provide for them, right? It goes through a long list of things about widows and that we should provide for them. If they're truly widows, if they have all these things, we should be willing to provide for them. And then it turns to elders and pastors and it says, you know, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching, right? Double honor. It's talking about money there. Should not muzzle an ox where it treads out the grain. The laborer deserves his wages. We should provide for those who are faithfully filling their calling. We should support those fulfilling their calling. That's spiritually, financially, emotionally, practically, physically, in all these ways, right? Those doing it right deserve our support. Paul's going to turn specifically to this idea later in chapter 6, but he just says in chapter 6, verse 18, they are to do good, right? To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves is a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. We are to be generous. We are to be ready to share, right? Truth is, we aren't always the leader. We don't always get to sit in the first chair. We don't always get to start in the game. Sometimes we are the supporter, not the recipient. Sometimes we are called to be second, third, fourth, fifth fiddle. Sometimes we are to support without recognition, right? Acts 20, 35. In all things, I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We should support spiritually, financially, emotionally, practically, physically, those who are faithfully fulfilling their calling. So we encourage, we provide for. The third thing is we hold them accountable. He turns to this and chapter 5, verses 19 through 22, and do not admit charges against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. And in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging. Do nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on hands. Do not take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure, right? We are to hold each other accountable. It's not always pats on the back. Yes, we encourage, we provide, but sometimes it's kicks in the rear, right? Ephesians 4:15 tells us to speak the truth in love. We should care enough for each other to correct each other. We should care enough for each other that we are willing to have the hard and the difficult conversations. It doesn't have to be mean. It doesn't have to be harsh. As Galatians 6:1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught up in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Don't do it out of jealousy, it says in this passage. Don't do it out of partiality. Don't do it hastily, but hold each other accountable. In sports and business, the standard has become sort of a common theme. The standard is the standard, right? It started a long time ago. Mike Tomlin, I believe, first started it with the Steelers, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it should be foremost in discipleship. Hold each other to the standard. Hold each other, as it said last week, that we are to set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. We have a standard. We are called to live up to the standard of our calling. We are called to live in a way worthy of the way we've been called. We should hold each other to the standard. We should set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity for those around us. So we encourage each other. We provide for those faithfully serving their calling. We hold each other accountable as we faithfully serve our calling. And then the fourth one is we serve. Chapter 6, verses 1, 2 talks about bondservants and masters. But it says, you know, if you're under the yoke, regard their masters as worthy of all honor, right? So that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters should serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good services are believers and beloved. All our work, even the work that's fully part of our calling, even some of the daily tasks we have to do to fulfill the calling we have, will not be exciting. It will not be fulfilling. It will not be profitable. It's not even going to be life-giving. It's just the work that has to be done. We all have parts of our job, right? There's parts of your job you show up every day and you're excited to do and you love to do. And there's parts of your job you show up every day and you're like, all right, I got to get this done, right? Parents, if you're a parent, right? Laundry, dishes, meals, groceries, diapers, carpool, and the list goes on and on and on. Not glamorous activities, not even fun activities, most of them, not real rewarding activities. Your kids probably aren't sitting there saying, hey, Dad, thank you, I got clean clothes. Hey, Mom, thank you for this meal. Most of the time, they're just like, hey, I expect this to be here. The whole calling at times can feel like work. And that's okay, and that's often the case. Hudson Taylor, missionary, said this, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. Mother Teresa said this, I don't do big things, I do small things with big love. Are we willing to serve others in the little things? Those who are faithfully fulfilling their task, are we willing to go the extra distance for them, do the small things for them so they can do the big things? Are we willing to do the little things faithfully in our task so that the bigger things come to fruition? Are we willing to serve others in the little things? Are we willing to do the dirty work so others can succeed, to serve others for their good, for their benefit, even if it doesn't fully benefit us? We're to encourage those who are faithfully fulfilling their calling. We're to provide for those who are faithfully fulfilling their calling. We are to hold accountable those who are faithfully seeking to fulfill their calling. And we are to serve for the benefit of their calling, not necessarily the benefit of ours, to do the little things and do the little things faithfully. Honor those who faithfully fulfill their calling, encourage, provide, hold them accountable, serve, because we're all in this together. Let's pray. God, thank you for calling us. Thank you for redeeming us. Lord, thank you for putting us into a community that we have each other. Lord, help us to be a community that encourages each other, provides for each other, holds each other accountable, and serves each other. Lord, a community that shines your light, community that shines who you are, and a community that seeks individually and corporately to fulfill the calling that you've given us, Lord. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.